reunion audio?
You have a prepaid call. You will not be
I'm Anna Dalvey, and this is the Anna Dalvey Show. You might recognize my name as a character in a Netflix series, but now you get to meet the real me. On this show, I will dive into the concept of rules and talk with the people who create or break them. From art, politics, fashion, tech, finance, law, and more, The Anna Dalvey Show will share honest, unfiltered conversations that will question traditional notions of what's right and wrong, all recorded in my East Village apartment in New York while on house arrest. This week, I'm talking with Natasha Stagg, a writer who's made her prominence in covering fashion, art, and culture in New York City. We'll chat celebrities in jail and hear about her new book, Artless.
Hi, Natasha. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming. I'm so excited to have you on. I read all your books that's been published.
Thank you for having me. I'm a huge fan.
No, I'm a huge fan. I love your necklace.
Thank you.
I just like simple clean stuff. I think so many people just like have to like wear all those crazy things.
Yeah, I like your style. I've been a fan of it for a while.
I literally have like nowhere to go these days.
Are you allowed to leave to like in the area, or do you just have to stay in one?
I'm only allowed to move within the building.
Really?
Yeah, but I have to like go to my eyes appointments like once a week, which is downtown 26 Federal Plaza. Mm-hmm. So, like I usually walk because the weather is so nice recently.
Oh, that's nice.
And like about once a month I go to Brooklyn, but otherwise not. Brooklyn. We appealed it. And the system is just so slow because I don't live in Brooklyn, but I'm still with Brooklyn Parole.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I shouldn't be. I should be here, like, in Manhattan.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any difference to me, but, like, they were supposed to transfer me, like, 7 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how do you get to Brooklyn?
Just car, like, Uber.
Yeah.
Well, like, sometimes, like, I usually walk with a friend. Or, like, we walk either, like, until the bridge.
Yeah.
And then take the car and just kind of, like, walk parts of it back. It's, like, a long walk. It's, like 90 minutes.
But probably you're like dying for that if you're like stuck in here, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say I'd love to like be able just to go wherever I want to and not just like to go to parole. But yeah, it's a nice change.
Yeah.
And like I've just been lucky. The weather was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time I had to go.
Yeah. It must be so crazy like not being able to leave here and like being in such a cool area. Like everything is like so tempting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it would be like crazy from anywhere, but yeah. It's just like hard. I guess the hardest part is just like not knowing when this is going to end, because I'm not like serving a sentence or like
you don't know when it's gonna end.
No, because I'm like here, I'm on house arrest only because of ICE.
Yeah, okay.
So they don't like, as long as my immigration case is pending, they can't like pretty much continue this. But I'm thinking like the only person in the whole country that's like on 24/7 house arrest.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Everybody else just like gets an ankle bracelet or like they get a curfew and like you check in with your whatever ICE supervisor once a year.
Yeah. Why do you think that you're the only person like this? Is like because your case is so famous?
I guess so, yeah.
They're like making an example out of you?
I think it's both. It's like my guess would be as good as anyone's, but it's just like they're trying to like make it as uncomfortable for you as possible. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to leave. Or it's also like they're setting you up for failure. Like
yeah.
They're not taking away like my guns or drugs. Like they're taking away my social media because they feel like, oh, and I will want to like be on Instagram,
right?
Twitter.
Yeah, so if they like catch you, then they got you.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's awful.
So yeah, they're just like basically trying to like to take away what they think you care about.
You seem like you have a really good attitude about it. So I would be like so miserable.
I mean, I can like always leave to Europe, so it's like part of it is like kind of a choice.
Do you ever go back? Or if you did, you wouldn't be able to come back here?
I was just like, you never know. The rules mm-hmm. change all the time. It probably is going to be like super hard because
yeah.
they don't like owe you anything.
Right.
Like, you can just get the waiver, and, like, they may take whatever year, they may take, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
So you just never know. So, and my criminal case is still on direct appeal, so it will be really hard to appeal from, like, anywhere else. Like, who's going to care?
Yeah.
So I think, like, it's not really fair, but just trying to, like, make the best out of it.
Yeah. I've been, like, really interested in your story for a while because I think one of the reasons is because I think, like, you have proven that you love New York.
Yeah.
Which is, like, just fun and cool. Like, not that many people love it this much, you know? And, like, I'm just curious, like, why? What do you love about New York?
I don't know. I just have, like, so much connection to the city. And I feel like part of it, I just don't want to be banned from, like, anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, why shouldn't I be able to, like, travel wherever I want to, whenever I want to? Like, maybe another part of it is just, like, who would I be if I'm, like, not constantly fighting some, like, system or, like, government agency?
Wow.
It's just, like, you know, so hard. Like, what if, like, nobody cared if I were to leave the house?
Right. That's a good point.
It's kind of sad, but I was thinking it's, like, do I really want to be, like, completely free?
Really? Like, you're kind of thinking about the future and, like, what that would look like?
Yeah, I mean, I could just, like, leave and, I don't know, I have a German passport, so I could be anywhere pretty much, but not, like, in a state, so. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could, like, ever just, like, live on a beach, like, in Bali or something.
You couldn't?
No.
Because it would be boring.
Yeah, definitely. What about you?
My life is so uninteresting compared to yours.
I don't think so. Like, you, like, I associate you with New York so much.
Really?
I guess I read both of your books. I mean, the first one is Surveys. It's, like, it's not really based in New York. I think it's, like, what, in Arizona? Yeah.
Yeah. And part, like, on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the second one is, like, so very New York.
Yeah.
When did you move here?
In 2011. So, I guess a while ago, but it doesn't feel like that long ago. Yeah, I have heard people say that I'm, like, very New York, and it, like, surprises me because I just feel like an outsider still.
Did you move here to be a writer?
Kind of. I moved here for a few reasons that aren't real reasons, you know, like, just my sister lived here and I kind of didn't know where to go next because I was, like, I had just graduated from grad school. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of supposed to be, like, temporary, like, yeah, staying with my sister, and then I got an apartment. But yeah, I was, like, expecting to get a job in publishing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. I got a job at a magazine instead. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I work for, like, brands and do a bunch of different things, but I definitely thought I would be, like, at a book publisher, mm-hmm, which I never have done. And I'm glad I haven't at this point.
I mean, the whole publishing industry is kind of dead.
Yeah.
Rapidly dying.
It's very disheartening, actually. Like, everybody I know that worked in publishing doesn't anymore.
Yeah. You have, like, a Substack now, right?
Yeah, I do.
So what made you start writing?
My Substack?
Yeah.
It was just, like, when I quit social media, because I was, like, I thought that Instagram and Twitter were getting really obnoxious, like, especially during the pandemic, everybody was so annoying. I quit, and it was kind of, like, I felt like I had to start something that was, like, one connection to the world, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if I ever had to promote something, it would be there for that.
Yeah. Do you like the platform?
It's okay. I mean, I don't know. It feels just like LiveJournal or something, which I had when I was, like, a teenager. So it's sort of, like, regressing, you know?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. I used to, like, read so many LiveJournals.
Did you have one?
No, I never wrote anything myself. But I used to, like, read other people's stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, like, really exciting when it started. So it's, like, weird to do it again because it's not, like, at the start of blogging, you know, like, yeah, it was so cool for a minute. But you, like, wrote, you've written things. Like when you were in jail, right?
Yeah, I did like this Anna Delvey diaries, which are like they all used against me during my subsequent bond hearings.
Really?
Yeah.
What was used against you from that? I thought they were great. I read them.
Thank you. Well, I was saying I have like no respect for authority. I'm making fun of the CEOs. And like everything was like kind of sarcastic and like very tongue in cheek. But they just, like, you can spin anything you want to, like, to, like, serve whatever they were trying to say. I thought prison was such a joke, and it was, like, everything was so fun.
Did you really think so?
I mean, no, not at all. It was just, like, really kind of, like, a sarcastic couple, like, entries I've wrote. But nobody wants to read about people complaining. Yeah. So.
No, it's true.
I hope, like, anybody with any kind of critical skills will be able to kind of, like, discern, like, oh, maybe this is just, like, not all there is.
Yeah. Well, it also just seemed like you could roll with anything, and it was really not what everybody expected, I thought, you know, that you could kind of make any situation into, like, a better one. And I feel like that's what you've been kind of trying to say about yourself and your life this whole time, and you've been, like, proving that, you know?
In a way, yeah. Well, I'm also, like, trying, like, not to glamorize crime and, like, prison too much.
Right.
Because that's, like, I read Orange is the New Black, and, like, she got a lot of criticism for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For glamorizing it?
Yeah. Well, I think she, like, it was such a long time ago. I think she, like, addressed this article, it's like a newspaper interview with another woman that she's been in prison with. And that woman just, like, glossed over all the experiences. And she just said, it's like, oh, this is dangerous, like, because prison is not all that great and we shouldn't have, like, women. But it's like it's somebody's. So some people deal with it by just saying, oh, it was actually not that bad. It was actually kind of, like, fun and fine and, like, nothing
because
awful
it's like
happened.
A coping mechanism.
Yeah.
I mean, of course it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's dying to go to prison. Nobody wants to, even after reading that it's, like, fun in some ways or whatever. Yeah.
So it's, like, it's an interesting, like, psychology behind it.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of, like, a fine line because not everything is terrible. I mean, they kind of, like, put everybody in prison. So it's not, like, just the worst of the worst. Like, you don't have to do much to land in prison. And everybody just gets to, like, go to the same place.
Yeah.
There's no kind of, like, distinction between people who, like, murdered or, like, people who, like,
so crazy.
Sold drugs or, like, stole something.
So you met murderers?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
So we go to, like, Bedford, which is maximum security. So that's where I met, like, Pamela Smart. Do you remember, like, To Die For?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's still here. She's still there.
That's wild.
She has, like, life without parole.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Because they say she can't, she would not admit any responsibility for her crimes. Because technically it was not her who killed the husband, but she's, like,
Yeah, what was the story? Like, she got someone else to do it for her.
Yeah, her high school student.
Yeah.
She was, like, a guest teacher at this high school, and one of the boys fell in love with her. I guess it was another one. And a third girl who was an assistant.
Right. Well, I just remember the movie. I don't remember the real story.
And she said, it's like, why don't we kill him? And, like, stage a robbery that went bad.
Mm-hmm. And she... You think if she had admitted to some fault, then she wouldn't have gotten life without parole? Or is that what she said?
I don't know. I think this is what they want to hear from you.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, she's not a threat to public safety. She's done more than 30 years. She is almost 60 years old, I want to say.
Yeah.
She's not going to reoffend.
And is she just miserable?
I don't know. That's kind of, like, all she knows. So her crime was committed in Connecticut, but she is in Bedford because they didn't have a prison secure enough for her. So they moved her to Bedford, and now I guess they do. but she's trying to stay in New York just because, like, she's been here, there her whole life, and she just doesn't want to be, like, this new person somewhere else.
Yeah.
She, like, works in grievance. She is in, like, inmate liaison committee. She's, like, her own office.
What does that mean, a liaison committee?
So it's, like, usually when you grieve something, it goes to, like, this senior inmate who've been there for a while, and they're trying to mitigate the problem.
Okay.
And they're, like, supposed to, like, talk to you, and they're not, like, the police or the CO. And if they can't resolve this, then it, like, escalates further.
Wow. I didn't know there was, like, jobs like that.
Yeah. In prison. Kind of like a counselor. Yeah, she found me when I just got to Bedford. She has, like, this all access pass where she can just, like, go to places. Mm-hmm. I was, like, a commissary. And she's like, oh, do you need anything? And it's like, let me know. Just trying to, like, get me moved to a cell. But then I got moved to Albion, which is, like, almost by Canada. It's, like, a medium facility.
Okay. So how many places did you end up going to?
I've actually been to, like, 7 different jails.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, they moved me quite a lot. So I guess it's, like, the moving part is the worst.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Just because you have to, like, figure out the new place, what the rules are. Like, you don't have much stuff, and, like, they don't really make it easy for you to, like, even put the money on your account. Like, sometimes they only accept cash in person or, like, money orders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, like, every place is different. But once you kind of, like, have your routine and your stuff, like, I was able to focus more on what I have going on, like, on the outside.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm, like, interviewing you instead of the other way, but, like, I'm so fascinated. I mean, everybody's fascinated by your story, I think.
Well, how is New York? I feel like you are the person to ask. Like, I'm here, but I'm not really here.
I don't know. I feel like it's the same. But when was the last time you, like, got to hang out in New York?
I want to say in, like, 2017, but then I got out of the criminal prison in 2021. But I was only out for, like, 6 weeks, so.
Did you do a lot?
I had, like, a 9 p.m. curfew, but I was able to get approval from my PO to stay out later for a couple things. I was just kind of busy, like, getting my life together.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say, like, I went to, like, a couple dinners and parties, but I was, like, still in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
That was around the time where, like, the restaurants just started to reopen.
Right. And, like, you're allowed to have people over, right?
Yeah.
And as many as you want.
Yeah.
That's such a bizarre, like, existence here. I think New York's going to be exactly as you remembered it. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, I think it's, like, New York will be the first, like, kind of, this always the first one to bounce back.
Yeah. It's always fun. I think I asked you about, like, why you love it, because I don't ever know why I stay here. And I do love it, but I can't, like, explain why, because I think it's, like, dirty and disgusting and, like, hard to deal with and expensive and, like, all that stuff, but it's just more my speed than, like, other places.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm in New York, I don't really care what's going on in other places. That's a good way, like,
to Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't feel like I'm missing out. Like, when I'm in Paris, I'm always like, oh, what are people doing in New York? Mm-hmm. Or, like, in London. But, like, when I'm in New York, it's like, it's kind of everything else is secondary.
Yeah, no, it's true. I've never been like, wow, that party looks like I should have, like, flown to Paris for it, you know?
Yeah. It's, like, all nice for them it happened, but it's like...
Yeah.
I'd still rather be here. Well, tell me about your new book. Like, I couldn't really find anything.
About the new book?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's, like, it's just announced, I guess, but, like, very quietly. Like, it's just on the internet. But, yeah, I haven't done any press for it at all, so... It's coming out in October, and it's another collection of, like, stories and essays.
So it's going to be similar to Sleepless, right?
Yeah, it's sort of, like, part two of that. Like, a lot of it written during the pandemic, so maybe heavily influenced by that, maybe, unfortunately, but I couldn't help it.
What did you do during pandemic?
I just stayed here. I live, like... I don't know if I want to say like exactly how far away from you, but you know, like very close to this area, like just across Tompkins basically. And then down. I was like really happy to be in the East Village because I had just moved here before the pandemic and I was like, wow, I can't believe anybody would live anywhere else. It's the best place. But then once all the students came back, I was like, oh, it's kind of crazy.
Where did you live before?
Bed-Stuy. Much prefer Manhattan.
Yeah. The couple blocks would make such a difference sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Like Soho and like Chinatown, like just walk literally a couple
streets. I know. Yeah, just like below Canal or like, even like here, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm above Houston, even though it's like just barely above Houston. Because like, I feel like everything below it gets just so much like louder somehow. Yeah.
But just the street traffic is just insane.
Yeah.
What year did you write surveys again?
Well, it got published in 2016 and I was writing it in grad school. So I started writing it in 2010.
Yeah.
And it just took that long to get published. So I was like trying every publisher. So I wrote it way before, but yeah, it was published in 2016.
And that book led to Sleeveless, right?
Yeah, now I have a publisher and they just are really supportive of whatever I want to do. And so I was like, I have all this stuff that I've written for other magazines if you want to make it into a collection. So we kind of like edited and made it cohesive in that way.
Yeah, it was great. I really loved it. I really enjoyed reading it.
That's so cool that you read it. I'm like, that's amazing.
I remember I actually saw it, I think, in Elle magazine because I had like all these subscriptions. And I'm like, oh, this looks cool. So I would just like text my friends what to send me, what to like order from Amazon.
That's cool.
And I really liked that one. So I asked for surveys and I was like, yeah.
I like that you have so many magazines and books.
I love print. I still do.
Yeah. It's cool.
And so what are you looking to do next?
Well, I'm trying to finish a novel, actually. So I've been... Right. I've been working on a novel for like forever. And
what is it going to be about?
It's like almost done. And it's sort of it's set in like I went to high school in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is like felt at the time like middle of nowhere. And it's sort of set there. Like it's a teenager story set at the time when like I was a teenager there, but not my life story, just sort of like based on what I know about that time and place and like some teenagers that are characters. Hopefully that amounts to something good. I don't know.
How far along are you?
I'm like pretty much done, but then I always feel like I want to go back and like fix it and make it something else. Like I'll like get an idea and just be like, oh, my novel is definitely not done yet. But yeah, it's like making me nervous because I feel like you have like, you write your first book and that you're like so nervous about that coming out. And then when you write your second book, you're like, oh, I wasn't even that nervous the first time because I didn't even know what could happen. Yeah. And like the second time you're like, I know what could happen and I want it to be like as good or better than that. Mm-hmm. And if it's like at all different, then, you know, there's some kind of like, I don't know, just the fear of your career kind of going downwards instead of upwards is like a big thing. And then I feel like I'm having that all over again because each of those books were very like different formats. Mm-hmm. So now I'm writing like the second version of the second one and the second version of the first one. So I don't know. I'll just probably always be nervous forever about everything I do.
It feels like, yeah, you're, like, only as good as you're, like, the last thing you came out with.
Yeah, and it's not fair.
We just look with so many people.
Yeah.
What do you think is, like, the future of the publishing industry?
Good question. I was just told that surveys, my first book was banned in a high school. And so, like, I was reading about, like, these book bans, and I guess I hadn't read about it. It's like a big thing that like there's a lot of book bans happening right now in high schools and people are protesting and it's kind of like all these schools are creating new policies for like parents to be able to just like petition for a book to be taken out of a high school. And it's just sad. And it just doesn't seem like modern. Like it doesn't seem like we're living in that time, but I guess we are. And I don't think that really has anything to do with the future of publishing, but it's also, I guess, like that whole thing where you like today you can't say certain things, you can't do certain things because, and everybody's always like, oh, you could never make that movie now. Or like, you could never write that now or say that now. And it's like, why are we going in that direction? Like, why can you not say certain things that you used to be able to say? It really inhibits like me, and I'm sure it inhibits a lot of people. I don't know if you feel that way, but like what you say is going to be, I mean, literally what you say is going to be used against you. Yeah. So.
Like, yeah, I guess I feel it in a different way, but for me, it was like literally they were denying me bond when I was in jail.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely like if you lose your job or like if you get canceled, it's, it has like awful consequences for people. Yeah.
Do you feel like you've been like canceled in some way?
I don't know, like canceled from what?
I don't know. I mean, you were doing a lot before you got arrested, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just, like, I'm not trying to think in those terms.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just kind of, like, trying to make the best out of my current situation. It's like, who cares? I feel like most people's attention spans are so short.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, nobody's thinking about you this hard or this long.
Yeah. What do you want to do when you're free?
Well, for me, like, I'm obviously, it's pretty hard to plan because I don't know. Like, a lot of it will depend. Will I be able to leave the house?
Yeah.
Like, can I have my social media back? And can I travel? So that kind of makes it harder. But yeah, I'm doing my podcast. I am doing a bunch of art. I have, like,
yeah,
bunch of projects in the works, like my dinner series, my documentary.
Oh, you're doing a documentary?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
I'm just kind of like trying to flip like the fact that, obviously I'm on house arrest and like so many people are curious about that. And I did not have any access to social media since October last year. So,
so you can't like say your version of things
that
people are saying in the media?
I just like, I'd be like just giving it out for like... for free, and now I can just like make something out of it.
That's good. Much. Yeah. So you're finding the silver lining of like being cut off from social media.
Yeah, like kind of like I'm trying to frame it because it's so toxic to think like, oh, poor me. Like I just have to be in this place all day, every day, where everybody gets to do everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did you ever write about crime?
No.
No.
Because I have, like, no experience with it.
Have you ever been arrested?
Yeah, once when I was a teenager. It was so stupid. It was, like, I used to work at, like, a liquor store. I think I was, like, 20. I was, like, about to turn 21 or something. Mm-hmm. But I was underage drinking in, like, a construction site. And so I was arrested for trespassing and drinking underage, but then it was like it ended up being nothing. Like I just had a fine because one of my friends had their friend's dad was like the DA, and like it was like so like I don't know, corrupt and funny, because I was like, oh no, this is gonna fuck me for life, like I'm gonna have this on my record. And then it just, like, went away. And I was like, oh, that's how the system works. But I also remember, like, I had to go to court. And I remember, like, being really excited about what to wear.
Yeah.
And looking at, like, Winona Ryder when she got arrested for shoplifting. And I was like, what did she wear to court? Like, I'll wear something like that.
Did we ever cross paths, like, in the past?
Me and you?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But it's kind of... I don't strange, remember either. Right?
We could have, might have.
I thought that when I like started hearing about your story, I was like, I wonder if we've ever met, because you were like,
we probably like were in the same room together at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you worked at Purple for a while, right?
I was in Paris.
Yeah. The whole time. But then did you work at any magazines here?
No.
But you went to like adjacent events or whatever. Like, I feel like for the years that we would have been crossing paths, I was just going to like all these sort of like press events because I was working at a magazine.
Yeah. And yeah, I definitely like went to a lot of parties when I just like moved here.
Yeah.
It's like all like fashion art stuff.
Yeah. Did you go to fashion shows and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we did. I'm sure we did.
Do you ever like think about getting back on social media?
I don't know. I don't really miss it right now. I feel like every time I see somebody's, I miss like seeing people's like private accounts, mm-hmm. but I don't miss like wading through all the other shit. Like if I was going to get back on social media, I'd make it like not known and then just have like a private account that I would follow like, you know, 10 people on or something.
You don't even do that anymore?
No. No, I wanted to just like really like not have it as like a distraction. It was mostly about it being distracting at the time. And yeah, now it's kind of like, I can't believe I did that because I had like whatever amount of followers, which means I could have promoted a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems pointless to start over if you can't get that back, you know?
You can't just reactivate it.
No.
No.
Not the way I did it. I was like, I don't know why. I was just like, absolutely everything has to be gone.
Yeah. The only thing I miss is like, just having a platform if you're like working on something to like to be able to announce it, kind of control a message as opposed to like relying on mainstream media to write it for you, and like to communicate it for you.
Yeah. But I think also I had like something in mind, you know, image wise when I was like, no social media, because I think sometimes the people that don't have it, I think of them as very like mysterious and cool, you know, like there's certain like celebrity, like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen don't have social media on it, like unless they do and it's secret, but like they don't have that as part of their image. And I find that very like alluring.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't have social media, if you think of it.
Yeah.
Like Jennifer Lawrence. Like some people.
And that has to be a choice.
Right, yeah. I can't imagine, like, all the whatever studio execs just, like, begging them to start one, to start an account. Like,
do you think they want them to, or do you think maybe they're like, okay, don't start one because you're going to be sloppy? Or, like, they know them too well.
I think there's so many ways to go about it. It's like you can always have, like, a public social media account, but, like, your manager controls it, or like, your PR.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it could be, like, a great tool for, like, actors. I can't imagine.
Like I'm sure the people who, like, certain people don't want Britney Spears to have Instagram. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that has really like changed her whole story in a lot of ways. And it's like been hard for, it's like the only way we even knew that she was like suffering.
Yeah. So it's like First Amendment. Nobody can like really take it away from her.
Yeah. No, I hope she has it forever.
If it makes her feel better, like if it makes her feel heard, why not?
Yeah.
What other artists are you excited about?
Artists?
Yeah. Mm. Or like writers, or like anybody who's doing anything these days?
Well, I just got my copy of Emma Klein's new book in the mail. Have you read her books?
Not yet.
They're really good. I think you'd like them.
Yeah, she's on my list.
Yeah. I haven't started her new book, but I'm excited about it. I don't read a lot of new fiction, actually, but I should, just to like get the lay of the land, you know?
What do you like read for news? What's like your media diet?
Like Page Six.
Yay.
Like every day. Honestly, like what people send me in like your group chat.
I actually like, I got so used to reading physical newspapers because they're like, you see what's on a front page, you see what's like on a
I didn't notice the stack until right now. It's so funny.
Well, it's like if it's just online, you can't really see what's important. Like everything,
the hierarchy of the, that's true.
Everything has like equal importance. So I have this app. It's called Press Reader. So it has, like, it shows you the PDFs of all the newspapers.
Really?
Like reading New York Post on it, too.
Really?
Just so I can see, like, who's on a cover.
I want to get that because, yeah, I don't want to read all the... You have to, like, sift through a lot when it's in, like, scroll format, yeah. You know?
So it's great. It's, like, a little habit I don't want to lose.
Yeah. Like, you got used to reading physical newspapers in jail.
Yeah. And it's, like, also interesting what they put on, like, on the front and the back. Also, they made a big deal. When Trump announced that he's running for president again, they put him, like, I don't know, all the way in the back. And on the cover, they put the Florida man is running again or something.
Oh, my God.
They wouldn't even, like, mention him by the name. And they're like, oh, well, New York Post just shifted the whole tone about how they cover Trump.
That's so stupid.
So that would not be possible without just, like, with their online coverage.
Yeah. I just remembered I was at, like, a writer's residency once and got used to physical newspapers there because I, like, didn't have... You could decide whether or not you want the internet password.
Yeah.
So I, like, was not on the internet for, like, the first part of it. And so I would, like, go to this, like, fireplace, like, area in the building and, like, read the newspaper in the morning. It was so nice.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I should do this every day. And then I just didn't, of course. Like, I didn't subscribe to the newspaper. But I think maybe I would love it.
A lot of people steal my Wall Street Journal.
Really? Mm-hmm. How are your neighbors?
They're okay. I have girls on, like, an apartment 10. They're on the same floor. They are, like, interns from Europe. Mm-hmm. So I'm very friendly with them. Another neighbor, he, like, never comes out. He's, like, older, apparently. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of people I'm friendly with. In a building, I woke up once when I just got out of jail and, like, none of my accounts were set up. And I didn't have phone service, so I could not. And I didn't have Wi-Fi, so there was, like, no way for me to reach anybody. So,
So you were, like, making friends.
So I went downstairs. It's, like, hopefully one of the construction people I hear. And, like, this guy from one of the apartments downstairs, he was, like, walking his dog. I was like, can I use your phone? So we're, like, still friends. He, like, came to a couple of my parties.
That's cool.
And I think more than a half of the places here are, like, they're short-term rentals.
Oh,
so
okay.
So people, like, come and go all the time. I don't know.
That's weird. How did you find this place? Or, like, did you already know where you wanted to live?
From my lawyers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just, like, a friend of one of my lawyers because I thought if I were to be granted bail, I could just, like, stay at a hotel. Same thing I've done the first time around. And I just, like, look for an apartment of my own. But I would not be able, like, they would not release me unless I were to give them a residential address. So, so I had to have, like, an actual place.
Yeah.
So that was tricky. And, like, nobody really expected that they would give me house arrest.
Really?
Yeah. Like, nobody really gets it.
That's terrible.
Oh, it's okay. I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Like, were you ever approached about turning any of your writing into, like, a movie?
I mean, I'm definitely open to it. I got, like, a couple emails, but nothing amounted to anything.
Yeah, because you write so much, like, about movies.
I love movies. I would also love to write a movie, but I've never even tried, I think.
You never wrote a script?
No.
I think you'd be great at it.
I don't know. It just, like, it stumps me every time I try to, like, think of a starting point for a movie. Because I think it's so much action, and I tend to kind of start with, like, inner thoughts, you know? It's hard to make that into a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, but
I
love
movies.
Would
make one. Yeah. I could see it being great, like New York of 2010s.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Somebody.
What about you? Like, didn't you sell a story, like, your life story to somebody to make a movie out of it? Or was that, like, a rumor?
Well, they just came out with a series. So I think my movie rights are still open, but just, like, it's nothing much happened.
So the series that already was, like, on Netflix.
Yeah,
that was...
Yeah.
Like, you sold the story to them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't really my story. The way it happened, they purchased the story that Jessica Pressler wrote for New York Magazine.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah. But they hired me as a consultant. I guess they just, like, wanted to prevent me from, like, going with HBO or, like, just doing something competing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So legally you wouldn't have to be involved. Like, they could just make that without you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always curious about that kind of thing.
So I think once your story becomes like a criminal proceeding, all the information becomes public.
Yeah.
That's why, like, all you see all those trials and, like, crime stories.
Right.
They really don't need, like, any permission to use your name or your story. Like, they used Rachel's name without her consent.
Oh, and was she, like, upset about that?
Well, she sued them, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Yeah, I think that's still pending. But they would not need her permission. So even though if you are the one pressing charges, it becomes public record.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everything that's criminal is public record, so...
Are you, like, in touch with all those people still?
No, not really. Some of them, yes, but I'm just kind of trying to focus on, like, what I'm working on right now, like, not trying to be stuck in the past.
Yeah.
A lot of people reach out, but, like, now I'm, like, pretty hard to get in touch with because I don't have social media.
Yeah.
Unless, like, you have my number or this general email goes to my manager, unless, like, they forward something to me.
Mm-hmm.
So... It was a bit different when I just got out of, like, criminal prison in 2021. I had, like, access to everything at the same time. It was pretty crazy. Like
everybody DMing you, probably?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine.
Like, having went from, like, nothing, like, no social media and nobody able to, like, call me or text me to, like, everything. And at that point, I had, like, less than maybe, like, 100,000 followers, so.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that sounds overwhelming. Like, did you feel like you had to reject a lot of that? Like, I'm sure people were asking you to be featured in stories or magazines or whatever, like TV shows, right?
Yeah, I just, like, barely had any time because I was only out for 6 weeks and I had, like, all this plans. So, I mean, they put, like, a natural stop to it.
Yeah. Do you, like, how do you feel about that now? Like, do you regret, or not regret, but, like, do you wish that that stuff could be happening right now, or are you kind of, like, over the media attention?
Well, I just, like, I mean, I can still do all the stuff. Like, I was turning down.
They just have to come here.
Yeah.
I mean, that works.
I just, like, avoiding doing something that has, like, no purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I was just waiting to launch something. Because what am I going to talk about? Like, look at me sitting at home.
Yeah.
Because it's not really much different. Like, house arrest is not different. Just, like, a person not leaving home.
Yeah. That's smart, I think. Just as long as you have something to promote.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because it's just exhausting and it's distracting, too. It's, like, it takes up a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, by the way, for coming
and talking to me. Yeah. No, I mean, I was so excited to meet you. I feel like... Yeah, like, it's weird that we've never met, and also it's not weird because you feel like a celebrity to me, you know, because I've been reading about you and seeing you. And
I feel like you feel like more like a celebrity to me because, like, I read two of your books.
I mean, it's funny how that works. Like, do you, like, unrelated, I guess, but, like, sometimes I don't want to meet, you know, really big celebrities because mm-hmm. I feel like it'll ruin the facade. Do you feel like the same?
I feel like writers are different from like singers or actors.
Yeah.
Because they kind of create this illusion and fantasy.
Yeah.
But writers, especially if you're like nonfiction, it's kind of different.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, writers, I think, are so approachable because you're kind of like in their heads. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know. I've gotten to this point where I don't really want to meet, like, huge stars that I'm a fan of. Like, Lana Del Rey or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to know her real self.
Yeah, because she created, like, this whole, like, image and fantasy. And, like, she's definitely is not like that in real life.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
And that would, like, take away from the future experience of her art.
Yeah. I know. I don't want to know anything else about her. I just want to hear her music, like, all the time.
She's never even done, like, a documentary or anything.
And she kind of doesn't go to parties anymore or, like, yeah. like the Grammys or anything. She'll just, like, opt out. Like, she didn't go to the Met Gala mm-hmm. since, like, 2016 or something. I just, like, saw that the other day, and I was like, that's so crazy that she used to go to a bunch of stuff, and now she just sits at home, probably.
What do you think of her new album?
It grew on me. I, at first, was kind of like, whoa, it's really weird, but now I love it. Are you a fan?
I have a couple songs that I like.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think her early stuff was really good.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep it up.
What's your, like, go-to music?
I'm listening to all kinds of things just because I'm here all the time. So usually when, like, somebody comes over, I'm having them play their music because I'm just so sick of, like, listening to my own playlist. So I've actually been exposed to a lot of stuff. Yeah. But I like a lot of hip hop. Like, yeah. I always did.
Yeah.
I just listen to all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
That's cool. I was going to ask you, you weren't in, like, the It Girl issue of New York Magazine, were you? Did you read that?
I don't think so.
That seems like an oversight. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. I don't really care. Somebody sent it to me. I was in this other issue. This New York people, I don't know, the ones.
Oh, like the New York issue with, like, yeah. the people on the street on the cover. You were in that one.
Yeah, they wanted me to. They invited me to do, like, the street shoot, but I just couldn't make it. Because I'm on house arrest. And I could not justify going to, like, West Village. They're just, like, not on the way.
Oh, right. Like, if it was on the way to something, you could just literally yeah. walk through the photo shoot.
And, like... That's all they wanted. Yeah, but that was, like, literally.
So you can't even, like, take a long cut down to... I mean, I guess, yeah, that would be going somewhere else. I mean,
yeah, like, they would question it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm allowed to use any mode of public transportation.
Okay.
So, I don't know. They never said anything about me walking or anything else, so.
Yeah, it's a mode of public transportation, I guess. Are you allowed to, like, stop in a deli and get a sandwich or something?
I never tried. I was walking with friends who did get, like, stuff for themselves. Mm-hmm. It just, like, seemed too stupid of a thing to, like, ask or bother about.
Yeah.
So, can I get a sandwich? It's like, well... file a motion with the judge.
Yeah. So you just, like, wait outside the store?
Yeah.
Just in case.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's wild. I feel like there's so much to look forward to.
Right?
When you, like, get out of this.
But it's also surreal because when I walk, I don't know, to Brooklyn or downtown, it kind of feels the same. It feels like, I don't know, like the last 5-6 years never happened, which is kind of so scary.
Really?
Yeah. Which also, like, reminds me. So I met all these people who, like, been in and out of jail. So many of them say, like, once you leave, you kind of forget real quick.
Is that true?
I mean, for better or for worse. I don't know.
Do you watch Life After Lockup?
No.
Oh, I've watched it.
What do you think?
It's a good reality show. It's like, you know, it's about, like, couples, though. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody who's dating somebody who's in jail, and then, like, what happens once they get out. And it's usually disastrous because they don't really know each other that well. But, you know, it's a good show. Maybe you'd like it.
But I know so many girls, just because, like, you need so many things in jail... And there are so many, like, men who are, like, willing to just, like, send you stuff because they like the idea of you being locked up mm-hmm. and, like, being unavailable to anybody else. I met girls that, like, they were doing, I don't know, 10 years. So I guess it's, like, it's hard for them to rely on their families to just support them.
Yeah.
Like, for all this time. So it's, like, their full-time job. They just talk to, like, 5 different guys every day.
Yeah. That's what this show is about. It's taught me a lot, but I don't know if it's, like, actually educational. It seems, like, pretty legit, like, information. But, yeah, it's, like, about you end up getting from it that, you know, the way you behave in jail, everything seems more transactional. Like all of the relationships you have are about kind of like keeping money in your account and making sure you have this security, like, you know, somebody to go home to after you're out. So it's like, if that's kind of the way the relationship starts, then how is it going to be, you know, when all of those factors get removed?
Like the power dynamics of that are like so different.
Yeah.
Of somebody being out and somebody being in. Well, thank you so much for coming. Anything else? Anything else you'd like to share?
Not really. I mean, I don't have, like, I can't say, like, go buy my book yet because it's not out, but it's coming.
And it's called Artless, right? And what's the release date?
October 24th, I think.
All right.
This year, 2023.
I can't wait. Hopefully I'm going to pre-order a copy. Do you have, like, any, you don't have social media, but anything?
Just Substack. My Substack.
Which is really great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just called Selling Out, Natasha Stagg.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm such a fan. Thanks.
Well, I'll definitely invite you to my next dinner party.
Oh my God, amazing.
In the city, and I'm looking forward to reading your book.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to coming back.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love talking to New Yorkers. I miss the city. Sometimes when I walk to my ICE appointments, I see Natasha on First Avenue sitting outside Lucien, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I wish that was me. The Anna Delvey Show is a Reunion Audio and Audio App production. The show is produced by Sean Glass, sound supervised and co-produced by John Eckhouse.
Reunion Audio?